FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today's 8-8-18. That's a mouthful. Next week, or in 10 days, it'll be 8-18-18. Whatever that means, I'll leave that to your imagination. Hey, as always, be a part of the show. Don't hesitate to email us. The email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, good economic numbers last week, 4.1% GDP growth. Can we expect more of it? Is the economy on a roll? Well, Sam McElroy is with us now. Sam, frequent guest of the show. You've got your own feeling about this. Do you think these numbers, first, of course, as always, welcome. You think these numbers can continue?
Yes. Well, thanks for having me. I think to some degree, yes, and to some degree, no. And I think we have to take a little bit of a historical view, not too far back, but in recent history to kind of get a better gauge of what's happening. We know that for a long time, one of the reasons that this most recent GDP number is significant is because there was a lot of talk of the different proposals, plans, recommendations, strategies that are being put forth really being intended to drive GDP growth to 4%. So if the 4% mark that was topped in the last numbers were sustainable, that would have huge implications in terms of what that means for the economy and whether or not the strategies that were devised were successful. Now, one of the things we have to kind of remember is that up until then, GDP growth had kind of been growing, but it had been growing at about the rate that it had previously been growing, which is anywhere in that 2 to 2.3% realm. What a lot of economists are saying now, though, is that the 4.1%, which was achieved, really had a lot more to do with just the cyclical nature of certain strategies taking root, part of it being the impact of the taxes and companies having a little bit additional cash, things like that. But they don't really feel that it is sustainable. They don't think that this means that quarter after quarter after quarter, we're going to keep hitting this 4.1% number. They think it, what will happen most likely is that we'll revert back to probably closer to the 2.3 or 2.5 or whatever it might be that we've been kind of trucking along at previously. And so if that were to happen, what that basically means is that it may have been a short-lived bump, so to speak, in GDP growth that ultimately won't result in permanent or lasting changes.
Interesting. Well, the tax cuts, I don't think we've felt the full implication of them. Did they just wind up resulting in more stock buybacks, or are we seeing investment opportunities increase, optimism increase?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's so interesting. Anytime there's some type of stimulus activity that tends to happen, whether it's for corporations in the terms of freeing up money that used to go to taxes, or whether it's for personal individuals in terms of what happens to them in terms of taxes or other types of economic policy that can be put forth. The question always becomes, if people or corporations have excess income, are they going to spend that on goods and dump it back into the economy? Because that's really what's needed for the stimulus to be effective. I think what we're finding, though, is exactly what you said, that a lot of corporations are just buying back their own stock. They're getting rid of or eliminating debt. They're doing a lot of things to basically make themselves healthier as companies, but they're not necessarily just going out and opening new plants and hiring more employees and doing all the things that we really need to have happen for sustained GDP growth. And that doesn't mean that it won't happen. I think you're right that we haven't necessarily seen the full impact, and certainly it's going to be a mixed bag between what companies do with the revenue that they're receiving. But I think one of the things that we are seeing is that not just for corporations, but for individuals at the household level, that a lot of the economic growth that is happening, I don't want to pay a picture that there isn't economic growth, but the economic growth that people are experiencing is being used to really rectify the situation. So they're in essence strengthening their positions in terms of investments, they're reducing their debts, and they're doing things to make them feel better, but not necessarily just buying more goods and services.
Yeah, well, but you do see that employment numbers are up, and seemingly, the economy is doing better. I mean, there's a lot of things to point to the upside to make you think that it might be more than just a one-shot deal.
Yeah, I think that there are a number of indicators in terms of the unemployment numbers, different things like that, that could indicate that we can continue to build on this, continue to grow from here, and continue this upward trajectory. I think some of the things we also just want to be mindful of and keep in the back of our mind, though, is keeping an eye on what happens with inflation, what happens with interest rates, and what happens with average wage growth. You know, I think it was earlier this year, we actually did see an uptick in average wage growth, and some of that is good. But to the degree that we need all of these pieces to really align, I think that's the question is, you know, no one piece in and of itself is enough to really say that we're going in one direction or the other, but how are they all going to interact with each other? So now we're in a situation where we need certain pieces to happen. We need to have a little bit of inflation. We need to see an uptick in interest rates. But at the same time, we don't want to have it rise too quickly to where that then negatively impacts corporations or puts us in a situation where we see a pullback in the stock market. And I think it's the balancing act that has to happen between all these different pieces that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I guess it is a balancing act at that. Trade war, are we going to have one here? Because I just read the other day that the Chinese were putting tariffs on soybeans. And then yesterday I read, but they have a problem. They can't get soybeans elsewhere. So they're going to have to come back to the U.S. with their tail between their legs. It's kind of amusing there. It sounds almost like winning, doesn't it?
Yeah. I feel like trying to keep track of all of the talk about trade wars and all the actualities of tariffs that happen is becoming almost like a minute-by-minute, you know, play-by-play scenario to try to keep track of all this stuff. Because it's not just the U.S. and China. You know, there was a lot of stuff that was happening between the U.S. and Europe. And then that kind of got dissipated, and it looks like there was going to be some resolution to all of that. Trying to really keep a handle on, you know, what's just talked about, what actually gets done, and then what the impact is something that we're still trying to kind of wrap our hands around to figure out what's happening and how it's ultimately going to play out. I think that they're, you know, if it's actually able to come to fruition, it could be a real turning of the tide, so to speak, in the sense of foreign policy and trade policy. But there's also another shoe where if this does blow out into a trade war, there may be casualties on both sides. And we don't necessarily know to what degree we would, you know, get a benefit netted against whatever losses may happen.
Yeah, my view is I think it's going to be harder than what happened with the EU, but I think that China will find a face-saving method of capitulating on this thing, because it looks so bad for them having to come back with their tail between their legs into the soybean market. Otherwise, the alternative, because it's a centrally planned economy, they're going to have to cut back on beef production because the soybean meal, ground up soybean meal, is the primary feed for much of their livestock breeding operations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there, something is going to happen. A deal is going to be made, and they're going to have to promise to be good, and they're going to have to cut their deficit. I don't think there's any other way it's going to work here.
Yeah, I think that all of those things could very easily happen. I think the part that's also kind of remains to be seen is, you know, as the general population, I feel like we're always one step behind because we're kind of getting information after things have happened. Mm-hmm. What would be really interesting to know is kind of all of the politicking and all the talks and things that are happening behind the scenes that we aren't necessarily privy to. I think, you know, that would probably provide a lot of insight also in terms of, you know, the maneuvering and where things are going and how it may ultimately play out.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see how it will play out. So what's your take? What do you think growth is going to be the next quarter?
You know, I don't know if I have a great estimate of what I think is going to happen. My concern is that I think we're going to see really moving back towards what we would call quote unquote normalcy. My expectation is that it's going to be somewhere in the 2 to 2.5% realm would be my best guess. There's a lot of things that could happen though that could push it up a little bit further, and it may not go straight from 4.1 back to 2 to 2.5. It could be an intermediate step, in which case we may see something in the threes. But I think long-term, over the next kind of few quarters, let's say two to four quarters, I think that we're going to see that we're not going to be able to necessarily remain around that 4% level, and that we're going to end up being at something more historically proportional, somewhere in the 2 to 2.5, maybe even a little bit higher than that. But, you know, the thing that I'm keeping an eye on, And I always like to get information in terms of the pros and the cons. And I remember recently I was reading an article by a really well-known economist. And the concern that they had is that they felt that based off of some of the things that were happening, that a number of the economic indicators actually are starting to revert to more of a negative position, meaning that it may not just pull back to a stabilized 2.5%, but that we may actually dip lower than that or even potentially go into decreasing GDP. Now, I don't want to say that we're moving back towards a recession or anything like that, but I think that we just have to be very mindful of continuing to watch and not extrapolate any significant meaning from any one data point. But let's just watch the trends. Let's kind of see what happens. I think there's been a lot of good things over the last year or so in terms of numbers from unemployment, other things like that, that have pointed in the positive direction. And obviously we had a meteoric, you know, injection into the stock market last year, but now we're seeing a lot more volatility this year. We're seeing a mixed bag in terms of earnings from corporations. And I think we just need to continue to watch it to see, you know, how all this plays out and where corporations are able to go from here.
Agreed. It's going to be a fascinating thing to see. Will Trumponomics be effective? Can it really save the day? Well, that remains to be seen. Sam, just tell us where we find you. Best place on the web to go?
Yeah, easiest place is the website, which is just www.atfinancial.com.
All right. And as always, there'll be a link to it in the show notes of this interview, as well as don't forget, send us your emails, questions, comments, etc. Love hearing from you. And the Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Of course, if you're listening on YouTube, which many of you are, just click that subscribe button and the bell. You'll get notified of any new shows going up. Same thing applies for iTunes. If you've got the iTunes application on your PC or your Mac, just go to the iTunes store, type in Carrie Lutz. You'll see the show Financial Survival Network. Click it like 8 times until it finally says you're subscribed. And you'll be set. Hey, Sam, it's always great having you on. We'll talk to you again soon. And here's to 4-5% economic growth as far as the eye can see.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.